And also, you know, as you grow in your faith, there are points where you get to know God more. You start loving him more, you know. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 that Christ's love compels us. You know, you just do more for Jesus, and you just want to, you want other people to hear about it. It's just, I think it's natural as you mature as a believer that, and as you understand it, you know, that people are actually lost without him, that you understand how wonderful Christ is. And you know, it's just something that I think is natural once you're growing.
2 Corinthians 5:14 states, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." Yes, this is the natural reaction of those that have accepted Christ, that Christ's love would compel them to live for him and to share Christ's love with others. Hi, I'm Mike Falkenstein, president and founder at 1-8 Catalyst, and the host of this, the fourth episode of the Catalytic Podcast. As you can tell, we have another great interview episode, this time with Hannah Gallatin, president and founder at GTM Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm glad that you're with me on this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. We read in Matthew 24, Jesus' words, that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. But Jesus needs you as a Christian to become equipped for this work. Welcome to the Catalytic Podcast, a ministry resource of 1-8 Catalysts. This podcast exists to give you practical and easy-to-remember tools toward spiritual growth that leads to Great Commission fulfillment. We'll also have interesting interviews of people who have walked the journey towards Great Commission fulfillment, and we'll be able to hear their stories. And now it's time for the Catalytic Podcast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. I have another interview episode, and I'm so excited to be able to be speaking with Hannah Gallatin. Hannah, I know you direct a ministry called GTM Ministries, and I would love for you to just tell the folks a little bit about that in a minute. But I know we met each other, I think, a couple of years ago at a missions conference in South Carolina, and what a pleasure to be able to track with you and just to see what God is doing through your ministry. And so I'm thankful that you're here. Why don't you just give folks kind of a quick introduction to who you are, a little bit about your story, and a little bit about your ministry.
Yes, Mike. First, thank you so much for having me on. That's such an honor to be with you here and talking about mission stuff. It's my passion. But yeah, I came from Norway in 2008, and I started something called GTM Ministries. It stands for Gospel Through Music. And so our goal is to mobilize short-term music mission teams to share the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. And we do that through music. So music's a wonderful platform. It draws in people. It draws in a crowd. It makes them, you know, open to hear a message. You also convey a message through the song, through the music. So it's just a really great tool in mission work. So we've been doing that for almost 12 years now. We do a lot of work over in Europe, North Central America. We've been to Africa and also South America, but Europe is where we have Europe and Central America, mostly where we have our trips.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And so give folks kind of an idea. So you've got these, you're mobilizing short-term music mission teams. So who are on these teams? Who are these people? And what are they doing during the mission trip primarily?
Yeah, so it's a lot of different type of musicians and artists. A lot of them are professional, and a lot of them are within the black gospel music genre. That's a very popular genre of music to use, especially over in Europe. So on a type like that, we would send maybe a conductor and a singer or a pianist or something like that, a small team, and they would work with a community gospel choir there, which may be just a choir that loves to sing gospel music, but they're not Christians. So our team will spend about a week with them, sharing what the songs are really about, share testimonies, have some fun with them, and share the gospel, of course. and just have that quality time with them. That's a very popular type music mission trip that we do. But we have a different type of artists and teams that go. We could have a high school group that are, of course, not professionals there, but they have a different role, you know. So we'll do maybe a concert tour with them where they go to different places. It could be a hospital, a prison, or it could be, you know, just neighborhoods where they would invite people in neighborhoods to come to their concert and then, of course, share the gospel at the concerts. But there's any type of genre we can use that might be an effective type of genre or effective tool in some area is what we want to use. So it could be classical, rap music, country music, contemporary Christian, you know, and anything. So, and they do different things at different locations in different countries. We try to adapt to the country that we're traveling to and to see what their partner ministries in those areas really need. So yeah, anyone's welcome to apply to go.
Well, that sounds great. And I love the way that that has worked out. And I like what you said about you adapt the different trips to the places where you're going, right? Because there might be different cultural norms or different, you know, ways that that might work better in one place over the other. And so that's really great. So I have really three questions for you and in this interview. And so before we get into the, you know, how you really felt called into full-time ministry, give us a little background of, you know, how you came to Christ. I know there's a story about, you know, when you were going from Norway to the United States and how all that kind of works. So give folks kind of an idea of kind of how you came to know Christ and then how you felt like you were called into full-time ministry.
Well, when I look back, I think I'm so blessed. And I think I didn't see that at that time, but I grew up in a Christian home where, you know, my whole family on both sides were Christians. I mean, all of them. And my grandfather was an evangelist. I mean, there's just so much in my family. So I just grew up with that being the most natural thing in the world. I can't remember not ever believing in Jesus or not believing in the Bible. That's just something we learned from, you know, being little, very small, you know. But I do remember a moment kind of vaguely where my grandfather had come into my room to say goodnight, and he did a little, you know, you tell a story, you pray with us, you sing with us and stuff like that. But I remember one time it just kind of dawned on me, like the whole idea about, you know, you believe in Jesus and you can have eternal life, all of that, you know, even though I may not have understood the whole gospel at that point, I just remember wanting in, like, this is this is what I want, you know, and I just remember it just being a great experience. But I just think my faith has just always, the faith in knowing that this is true has always been there. And of course, you have to get to the point where you make the decisions. And I just remember that being an easy decision for me to make back then. And also, you know, as you grow in your faith, there are points where you get to know God more, you start loving him more, you know, and Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 that Christ's love compels us, you know, you just do more for Jesus and you just want other people to hear about it. It's just, I think it's natural as you mature as a believer that, and as you understand it, you know, that people are actually lost without him, that you understand how wonderful Christ is. And you know, it's just something that I think is natural once you're growing up. But I remember saying to God when I was pretty young that, God, I want you to use me for something big for you. And it wasn't anything pious or anything at that time. I didn't mean that I wanted to do something big in the world. I just really looked at the people in the Bible and seeing how God used them for such great things for him. And I just, like, I wanted to be a part of it. So I remember that prayer, actually. I don't remember that's just something that really was on my heart. And I do think as I got to say, even though I never thought about becoming a missionary, I always knew I was going to the States. It was just something I had known since I was a child, that when I grow up, I'm going to the West. I think God prepared me for that. And just so when I decided to make that, it wasn't as hard because I had already, you know, known about this since I was a child. I know that doesn't necessarily make sense to the world, but I think as a Christian, you can understand that God on your heart, that just, you know, that just prepares you for something you're about to do in the future.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's great. And so you've sort of answered in part the second question, but you know, it's this, these interview episodes, I'm particularly interested in hearing from those being interviewed, you know, really how you went from, okay, I know Jesus died on the cross for my sin, which, you know, there are a lot of Christians that, hey, that's just kind of enough. I know eternally my destiny, going kind of from that to, man, I really need to be involved in, you know, the work of evangelism and making disciples. And so tell folks a little bit about kind of that, those insights and how you really knew that, you know, God was calling you to be involved in that way.
Yeah. I think for me, it happened a little naturally, just as you grow in your faith. I don't know, maybe it's a gift of evangelism, who knows what it was, but I feel like that's something that every Christian should want to be a part of. And I'm not saying if you don't feel like that, you know, that's something's wrong with you, but I do think that we will get to that point, because I think, and I quoted 2 Corinthians 5 earlier, because that chapter is just so significant, I think, in mission work, because Paul is actually explaining why he does what he does. And he says that I have been reconciled to God through Christ. So now I have the ministry of reconciliation. It's almost like you have to, as long as you're, you know, when you have been reconciled, that's just the next natural step. And I do think that maybe we're taught that to be in missions or to evangelize, it's almost like you have to have a special calling. And I do believe God will, you know, like I said, I knew from when I was young that I was going to move to the States. But I do still think that everyone has something that God is calling them to do, whether it's, you know, something like that where you actually go overseas to another country, or if it's just something locally. But I do think you have to make it not necessarily such a big deal. It's more like, okay, how can I serve today? How can I serve right now? Like, and then I think as you do those things, like maybe something will become a passion of yours, you know, or you, because I think you have like people who actually went on a mission trip just because the church put together a mission trip, and then, you know, they became passionate about that country and ended up buying a camp there or something and running a ministry down in that area. And I think I just think you have to keep serving, and then it just becomes natural, you know, or God on your heart. I don't think we're supposed to sit and wait without moving, even though our big main calling may not be clear to us. In my case, I waited till I was 30 years old to move, even if I knew that this was God's calling for me. And of course, I served throughout that time. But I do think that, like, sitting there and wondering what does God want with me? You know, when I going to school and to studying to be a teacher, I didn't want to be a teacher, but I mean, you got to do something, you know? And so,
right.
So I took some subjects that I wanted to teach, you know, just kind of in Norway, it is the same. You don't just teach one subject. You kind of have to pick some subjects. So I picked just randomly. That's what I thought. Music, religion or Christianity, and English as a second language. And I just thought for the longest time that this is so pointless, and I wasted those years. And it took me a few years into being here in the States before I actually realized how significant that was, you know, in the States. So I don't think, you know, studying music, Christianity or religion, and English as a second language was that point after all, you know. So I think God is still maybe in your waiting time. He's preparing you. But you have to serve, I think, through that time, just because you can always do something, even if you're not, you know, being your main calling just yet.
That's really good. That's there's a lot of good thoughts in there. I love what you've said about that. Really, it for the Christian, that desire to want to tell others should just pour out of you. You know, with our ministry, as we're trying to help people grow in these areas, I'm talking a lot about, you know, Jesus's words about every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And so, right, for the fruit trees that we have in our yard, hard. There's just nothing that we have to do. That's just how God made them, right? So, they're just going to do what God called them to, or God designed them to do. And then, of course, I love your thoughts about, at the time you had thought that maybe in your 20s, you were wasting time, and how, in God's sort of timeline, there's just, if you're intentional and you're you want to serve the Lord, there's really no such thing as really wasted time. It's clear that now He's used those times. So that's some great stuff. So, Hannah, let's just we've got a break coming here. So let me just let's take a quick break. Let my friend Tom Muller come and give us a good word or two, and then I think when we come back, I'd love to talk just a little bit more with you about how God gave you the calling for GTM in particular, and then we'll kind of turn that towards, your ideas of kind of what you see in the Western Church and any thoughts that you'd have about helping them become fully devoted followers as well. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
At 1-8 Catalyst, we have a deep heart to create resources to help you find great commission fulfillment. Our website at 1-8catalyst.org is chock full of resources that we hope will help you find great commission fulfillment. From previous episodes of the Catalytic Podcast, our new 5-minute video resources that you can share with others on social media, to our blog content, we exist to create resources and deliver training that is a catalyst, enabling every Christian to find great commission fulfillment. While you're on our website, navigate to and like our Facebook page, which will keep you up to date on the latest from us.
Well, Hannah, thank you so much for being with us again. And I'm just so thankful for the chance to be able to talk with you. And I'm wondering if you could give folks kind of an idea of, okay, so you're feeling called to come from Norway to the United States. And you have on your heart this idea of kind of a music ministry. Give folks an idea of what God did there to make you sort of think, this particular kind of ministry is what I think God's called me to do. And then maybe some ways that He's kind of confirmed that calling.
Yeah. So it's a very interesting walk, because it was almost walking in. I'm not going to say blind faith, because you've seen God work before, so you know who you're trusting, but I did not know the direction at all. But I knew what God had laid on my heart is to go to the States. And when I was 30 years old, or right before my 30th birthday, it just became too strong. So I'm like, I really need to just make this move. And so I decided to go, I had about 5 months to prepare, to quit my job, to just, plan what I was going to do. I used to say to God, I'm going to move to the States if you give me a job there. Obviously, that wasn't God's plan, and I never applied for anything, so I don't know why I would get a call about a job offer in the States, but
all right.
My terms, that wasn't His terms. So finally, I'm just going to go. I'm going to trust Him. And so once I made the decision, without knowing even that I was going to do mission work, I just knew that this was where God wanted me to go. God just started laying one thing after the other on my heart. People come in your way to say, oh, can you help us once you're moved? Maybe you can help us bring artists over here. And I'd already had a passion for Norway as a mission field, because we used to be mission country that was, loved the Lord and sent the most missionaries in the world per capita, actually, back when I was young. Yeah. And then it became so secularized and so watered down that it just pained me. It was very hard to see that. So I knew we needed missionaries there. And then, I had been involved with events. I'm from a musical family. All of that was kind of natural when it comes to music. And I had a pretty good network of artists actually in the States, Christian artists before, beforehand, just because I'd been involved with putting together some events in Norway. Like I say, you still stay active serving before your calling. So because I had been doing that, I had a network that God had given me. And so once I actually was ready to leave, I knew I was going to start a music organization of some kind that was going to send people to share the gospel over in Norway, I thought first. But, God had greater plans than that. So we've been to about 25 countries as of now. But When I started, I was thinking we need to have missionaries in Norway. So I got rid of all my stuff. Had 4 boxes of some stuff that I sent home to my parents. And I had 2 suitcases that I was going to bring to the States. And I got to the airport and, you know, I was, you know, a little stressed out realizing what I've done. You know, I don't have any money or income. I have 2 suitcases and I'm moving to the States. And
right. My
father is American. And so I had a U.S. citizenship, and his brother and his wife lived over in North Carolina, actually right where I'm at now, because we have a family property right here. And so I was going to move just and stay there in the beginning. So it wasn't like I came somewhere I had never been, but I didn't really know people aside from them. So I just realized, okay, I'm doing this and this is crazy. And, you know, I think fear just gripped me a little bit. I was so excited up until that point, but then I got a little nervous. And so I was on the plane just praying, God, you have to remind me why I'm doing this. And on my last flight over to Greenville Spartanburg, which is my favorite airport.
That's right.
Another interview. On my last leg from somewhere to Greenville Spartanburg, I sat next to this lady that wasn't supposed to be on the plane at all. She was supposed to be in another flight, and she also wasn't supposed to sit next to me. She had another seat, and it was strange how she ended up sitting next to me anyway. And I started talking with her, and I told her I was moving, and so she said, so why are you moving? And I remember that question so clearly because, yeah, why am I moving? That was kind of what to confirm. And so I tried to explain as best I could, you know, that I'm starting a, you know, a music organization, sending Christian artists overseas and all that stuff. It's like, oh, and she said, I am a president of a big choir district in Ohio. And she had all kinds of contacts, especially within the Black gospel community, which was very significant for what I was supposed to do. And so she started giving me names. I was writing, getting so excited. And as I planted my feet on the ground in the Carolinas, my calling was just confirmed. I was so excited. And I felt home.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So God did confirm that. But I did not know at that time a lot of details. And I actually didn't have a name for the organization. And I worked on it probably for a few months before I could find a name. It just, nothing made sense. And then as I was out driving one day, I mean, literally, it just popped into my head, gospel through music ministries. And it just kind of startled me a little bit because I knew it wasn't from me. I would not have thought of that. But gospel through music ministries also gave the direction for the whole thing, not just the name, but it gave the vision. You know, we're supposed to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through music. And it's a ministry. It's not a company, like, you know, making money or booking artists. It's a ministry. And so I felt like God just gave me the direction there and then. And he's confirmed it in many ways later on, but that was significant to me, just knowing that he was in charge of this and he was on top of it.
Wow, what a great story. And I just think that, boy, you show up at the airport with 2 suitcases, having, you know, sold the rest of your stuff. That's what we'd call, you know, you were all in at that point, right? I mean, you you didn't leave anything behind. So,
and adventurous, but all of that is I think are good qualities in doing something like that. I don't think you can think too hard about it all the time. Sometimes you just gotta go.
That's right, and I do think for some Christians that faith aspect of, you know, what is it in Hebrews 11? Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you cannot see. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that letting go of what's comfortable and, you know, and that's actually becoming a theme with these interview episodes that, you know, for many, staying in their comfort zone is important. And yeah, we just don't see anything in the Bible, I don't think, about comfort zones, right? Yeah. God's not really that big on, he's about, you know, us trusting him and us, you know, obeying him and us then being used by him, I think. So that's quite a story, because yeah, if you sold all your stuff and that's all you have. But then on that same day or two, as you're on your way to be sitting next to that gal, that lady, and now were you able to, I'm assuming this lady you sat next to, you were able to actually do some ministry together with her, as it turned out?
Well, that's the crazy part. So I wonder about this a lot of times because she gave me her card. I never found it. I looked for it so I could contact her and thank her because, you know, share with her how instrumental she was in, mm-hmm. in just confirming what God had put on my heart. But I never found her card. And, you know, it could be just I really misplaced it, but it could also be, I mean, you know, sometimes you just wonder, like, what was this?
Oh.
So I've never been able to contact her. And
wow.
Yeah, it's been a strange thing because I did save my business cards back then and, you know, I was going to contact everyone, but her card was just completely gone. So sometimes you wonder if she was even, you know, a human being or if she's an angel by God, you know, from God. But
oh, right.
Yeah, but regardless, you know, God used her mightily. And I know that was that must have been very intentional by God. So I'm really grateful to her. And if she's ever, you know, if we have our paths ever cross again, you know, I wish I could. I probably wouldn't recognize her, though. But she definitely meant a lot to confirming the call. And she probably has no idea that she did that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Which there could be a lot to be said about that as well. Right. The ways that God uses us and we may not ever know how that works out. So, well, that's, oh man, that's so fantastic, Hannah. I'm wondering, before we end our time, you know, with our ministry, we have a deep heart to help Christians find Great Commission fulfillment. We do think that that starts, and a lot of times, church leaders having a heart for helping their people become fully devoted followers, right? So I'm wondering, as you do your ministry and you're involved with what you're involved in, I'm wondering thoughts you'd have about kind of the number one thing that the Western church could be doing to enable their congregations to become fully devoted followers. As you said, then for the fully devoted followers, they're just kind of an automatic bearing of fruit, right? And so I think actually that would be the hope that I would have, the prayer request I would have for Western churches is that those leaders would get a heart to help their people be growing spiritually. So what thoughts do you have about that in terms of what could Western churches be doing to enable their congregations in that way?
I think one of the biggest things that are on my heart is to really study the Bible. And I'm not talking about some light version, like a 10-minute talk of some encouragement or anything. I think you really have to study for yourself. The churches has to, I think, help you get into the Word. Maybe, I don't know what way, but like my church right now, they're doing the 1 year chronological reading of the Bible. So everyone Bible in church that we do it together. So everyone reads it. I think that was an amazing thing that they decided to do. But I think as a church, you have to really teach the Bible, like not just your opinions, but your actual, really teach the Bible, teach the character of God. And encourage people to get in the Word, because unless you get in the Word yourself, you're really not going to grow as much, you know. And I think that's number one thing, is to really highlight the Bible, because and I'm talking about not just a scripture here and there, but actual, you know, reading through the Bible like over and over and over, because you won't get the gospel if you don't know the Old Testament. You know, it's not.
That's right.
Yeah, you need to know it all. God has something in every verse in the Bible that is significant. And I'm thinking we can't just come to church and hear something about encouragement or do entertainment and then have 10 minutes of something, you know, that'll keep your attention, that's designed in a way to grab you and to get you to come or grab your attention, I guess. But I think we really need to delve in deep, going through, you know, I'm reading Vernon McGee. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he has
Yes.
the Bible. I just love, like, what kind of work he put into that. Like, I think back in the day, they put in so much work into studying. You know, I will read a book on prayer by Spurgeon, and it's, you know, it's so thick. You can't really get through it unless you spend a lot of time, you know, like they just.
Right.
Research and so much studying in the Word back then, and I think we just made a light version of it today. And I do think that's like the main key, is to believing the Bible and to really knowing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. I really like that. So for our ministry, you know, I've got these book resources, and the second in a series of books that I've written is on the six marks of a church that makes disciples. So you're really just mirroring what I've thought, which is, you know, one of those marks is that the church would have a high view of scripture, right? I mean, it's like, if the Bible says it, then we do it. And part of that is that we're in it and we're reading it, and because you can't obey the Bible and you can't obey God's commands unless you know them, right? Which would include, you know, spending that time. And then, you know, I really think a church that is serious about making disciples that then would bear fruit would be, you know, just have a continual commitment of equipping through training. So let's have a course on, a 6-week course on Old Testament survey, a New Testament survey. And I think, a lot to be said about that. But certainly part of that is, hey, at the very top levels of our church, we think this is so important to know God's word. And we really want you to participate, and we want you to be in God's word. And so, that's really key. I really appreciate that. So, Hannah, before we go, I want to make sure that people know how to get in touch with you if they want to learn more about your ministry, if they want to contact you directly, contact information you'd love to give. What would be the best ways for people to get to know more about GTM Ministries and what you guys are doing?
I think if I'm going to just give them one thing, I would give our website address, because you can find the contact information there. There's also contact forms. It's easy to contact us through there. So I would say go to gtmministries.com. So G stands for gospel, T for through, M for music. So gospel through music ministries.com. GTM. Yeah.
Great. And so through the website, they can get all the other, I'm actually looking at it now, and it looks like there's the link to your Facebook page and the Instagram and, you know, all that other stuff too. So that's a great way to do it. So, well, Hannah, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And I love your story, love what God's doing through your life and your ministry. And of course, we'll continue to be praying for you all. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think you'll agree with me that that was another fantastic interview episode. I'd like to thank Hannah again. And as she's just mentioned, you can go to her website for her ministry to learn more about GTM Ministries and what they do. And in particular, I will mention to you that if you're in a church choir, if you're a singer of any kind, this is a fantastic opportunity for you to both use your gifts that God has given you in song and singing and music, and serve the Lord and get an opportunity to do some evangelistic ministry. So big fans of what they do. So thank you again, Hannah. Thank you all for joining us for this latest episode. And I think you'll agree, these interview episodes are good. It's good to hear people's stories, and I'm excited to hear from others. We've already recorded several other interview episodes, and they just keep getting better and better and better, and I'm really excited. So thank you so much, and I'll look forward to seeing you on the fifth episode of the Catalytic Podcast. Thank you for joining me for the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at 18catalyst.org, and never forget, the Great Commission is a command that Jesus gave you as a Christian to obey. I'll be praying for you that you find your part in it. See you next time.